Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. A little while ago, the apostle had condemned those who are envious and start heresies and schisms. As if he had forgotten that he had already berated them, the apostle once more reproves those who provoke and envy others. Was not one reference to them sufficient? He repeats his admonition in order to emphasize the viciousness of pride that had caused all the trouble in the churches of Galatia, and has always caused the Church of Christ no end of difficulties. In his epistle to Titus, the apostle states that a vainglorious man should not be ordained as a minister, for pride, as St. Augustine points out, is the mother of all heresies. Now, vainglory has always been a common poison in the world. There is no village too small to contain someone who wants to be considered wiser or better than the rest. Those who have been bitten by pride usually stand upon the reputation for learning and wisdom. Vainglory is not nearly so bad in a private person or even in an official as it is in a minister. When the poison of vainglory gets into the church, you have no idea what havoc it can cause. You may argue about knowledge, art, money, countries, and the like without doing particular harm. But you cannot quarrel about salvation or damnation, about eternal life and eternal death, without grave damage to the church. No wonder Paul exhorts all ministers of the word to guard against this poison. He writes, "If we live in the Spirit, where the Spirit is, men gain new attitudes. Where formerly they were vainglorious, spiteful, and envious, they now become humble, gentle, and patient. Such men seek not their own glory, but the glory of God. They do not provoke each other to wrath or envy, but prefer others to themselves. As dangerous to the church as this abominable pride is, yet there is nothing more common. The trouble with the ministers of Satan is that they look upon the ministry as a stepping stone to fame and glory, and right there you have the seed for all sorts of dissensions." Because Paul knew that the vainglory of the false apostles had caused the churches of Galatia endless trouble, he makes it his business to suppress this abominable vice. In his absence, the false apostles went to work in Galatia. They pretended they had been on intimate terms with the apostles, while Paul had never seen Christ in person or had much contact with the rest of the apostles. Because of this, they delivered him, rejected his doctrine, and boosted their own. In this way, they troubled the Galatians and caused quarrels among them until they provoked and envied each other. Which goes to show that neither the false apostles nor the Galatians walked after the Spirit, but after the flesh. The gospel is not there for us to aggrandize ourselves. The gospel is to aggrandize Christ in the mercy of God. It holds out to man eternal gifts that are not gifts of our own manufacture. What right have we to receive praise and glory for gifts that are not of our own making? No wonder that God, in His special grace, subjects the ministers of the gospel to all kinds of afflictions. Otherwise, they could not cope with this ugly beast called vainglory. If no persecution, no cross, or reproach trailed the doctrine of the gospel, but only praise and reputation, the ministers of the gospel would choke with pride. Paul had the Spirit of Christ. Nevertheless, there was given unto him the messenger of Satan to buffet him in order that he should not come to exalt himself because of the grandeur of his revelations. St. Augustine's opinion is well taken. If a minister of the gospel is praised, he is in danger. If he is despised, he is also in danger. The ministers of the gospel should be men who are not too easily affected by praise or criticism, but simply speak out the benefit and the glory of Christ and seek the salvation of souls. Whenever you are being praised, remember it is not you who is being praised, but Christ, to whom all praise belongs. When you preach the word of God in its purity and also live accordingly, it is not your own doing, but God's doing. And when people praise you, they really mean to praise God in you. When you understand this, and you should, because what hast thou that thou didst not receive? You will not flatter yourself on the one hand, and on the other hand, you will not carry yourself with the thought of resigning from the ministry when you are insulted, reproached, or persecuted. It is really kind of God to send so much infamy, reproach, hatred, and cursing our way to keep us from getting proud of the gifts of God in us. We need a millstone around our neck to keep us humble. There are a few on our side who love and revere us for the ministry of the word, but for every one of these, there are 100 on the other side who hate and persecute us. The Lord is our glory. Such gifts as we possess, we acknowledge to be the gifts of God, given to us for the good of the Church of Christ. Therefore, we are not proud because of them. We know that more is required of them to whom much is given than of such to whom little is given. We also know that God is no respecter of persons. A plain factory hand who does his work faithfully pleases God just as much as a minister of the word. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory. To desire vainglory is to desire lies, because when one person praises another, he tells lies. What is there in anybody to praise? But it is different when the ministry is praised. We should not only desire people to praise the ministry of the gospel, but also do our utmost to make the ministry worthy of praise, because this will make the ministry more effective. Paul warns the Romans not to bring Christianity into disrepute. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Romans 14:16. He also begged the Corinthians to give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. 1 Corinthians 6:3. When people praise our ministry, they are not praising our persons, but God. Verse 26. Provoking one another, envying one another. Such is the ill effect of vainglory. Those who teach errors provoke others. When others disprove and reject the doctrine, the teachers of errors get angry in turn, and then you have strife and trouble. These sectarians hate us furiously because we will not approve their errors. We did not attack them directly. We merely called attention to certain abuses in the church. They did not like it and became sore at us because it hurt their pride. They wish to be the lone rulers of the church.